City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. It is Wednesday, October 10th, and we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and it's a Bismarck edition of City Current, so Jason Tomonic's here.
Good morning, Mary.
Welcome. You had a big meeting last night. It was
a long
one.
It was.
I didn't see pizza boxes being delivered or anything like that. You guys always get a little hungry, and you wonder if you're getting a little hangry as far as the meeting goes, but everything was very civil.
Right. It was. My Altoids were popular towards the end of the night. That's what everybody had for supper. So
There were a couple of, just one item actually on the consent agenda that we wanted to talk about, and that was a zoning change for an area east of Bismarck called Hillcrest Acres. Mm-hmm. And it was a zoning change, as you explained, it was kind of just to keep up and a little housekeeping on the zoning change because the use is not really going to change much, but it will expand.
Right. Yeah. So we've got a situation, new owner recently purchased it's primarily an RV site, campsite, but there are some permanent houses out there as well. New owner, new blood, new interest, obviously. So he's looking at fixing up some of the amenities at the campsite, offering more parking for some of the RV users. And then I understand that he will also be adding some more housing opportunities out there in the future as well.
All right. So a little housekeeping.
Definitely.
And that went through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that was calling for a hearing.
Public hearing will be next month or next meeting, end of the month.
Right. Okay.
23rd of October.
Sounds good. Regular agenda was pretty packed.
Yes.
Started out with, I believe, with J.D. Gray coming back and giving an update on the strategic planning process, which you're a part of, and it's being chaired by Commissioners Oban and Zinker.
You got it.
Excuse me. And so they came through and talked to, was J.D. Gray, the principal there, came in and gave that report.
Yeah, it's titled it First Quarter Report. So basically an update on what we've done thus far. Of course, we have the survey that's out there right now. That's the Vision and Values Survey. That is the community's opportunity to tell us, what do you like about Bismarck? What would you like to see more about Bismarck? That survey will really become the foundation for the entire plan going forward. Survey's open for a couple more weeks. We definitely want to encourage people to take a little bit of time, tell us what you think. Those comments will be shared directly with the commissioners and the project team.
And this whole process was launched during the street fair, and he kind of started last night and talked about a little bit about the street fair booth that was down there. It was kind of a fun presentation, and that part of it where they showed that piece of artwork that was pushed through by Dakota West Arts Council that wanted that next to their booth, and people could put a stroke on the
community canvas.
On the canvas, and then sign the back. And it was kind of a fun deal and a very colorful piece of art that resulted from that. So
definitely.
That was really fun. And so they moved that forward, gave that quarterly report, and then also announced a town hall meeting is coming up so that people can actually have some public input into the process in a live situation.
Yes. So the town hall meeting will be Thursday, November 1st, the day after Halloween. It'll be at the Bavendick State Room at the BSC National Energy Center of Excellence on the BSC campus. That will be an opportunity for anyone and everyone that's interested in the future of Bismarck or our community at large to come and hear some comments from Jason Gray with J.D. Gray, but also there will be some interaction opportunities. There will be a chance for anybody with a smartphone to vote on some items, share comments that way as well. There will also be, of course, microphones and public comment as well with all of that. So for anybody that's interested, Thursday, November 1st, 5:30 p.m., it's free, open to the public, of course. So we definitely want to encourage people to take part and get involved.
And he also announced last night demonstrated, showed the new logo, and also talked about the tagline that was chosen.
Yeah, so that's a project logo. It's not a new logo or a new brand for the city. It is just a brand and a recognition for the strategic plan project. And then the tagline, which was something that during the street fair, we engaged people and asked them, you know, think about Bismarck. What are some of the phrases you think about? And a lot of people had an opportunity to participate in that. So the tagline for the project is Imagine Bismarck, and then the logo that was developed shows a little bit of our skyline, and it has the shooting star from the city logo as well. So
an adaptation of the existing logo was used, and moving that forward.
Yeah, iconography from the city of Bismarck. So we will definitely be seeing that going forward and sharing that as often as we can. For those that are listening on the radio, you're missing a picture of it right now, but nice. It's got the Bismarck blue. I mentioned the shooting star. That's part of all of our City of Bismarck logos. So
yeah.
Nice job there. Looks good.
Looks really good. And again, that's about all we have to report on that right now. But the November 1st town hall meeting is coming up. Mm-hmm. And the survey is still live on the website. So you can go into bismarckstrategy.com.
That's the homepage.
And take that survey and be creative.
Absolutely.
We're looking for people to give ideas about the future of the city.
Yeah, we say, the strategic plan is really the roadmap for the next 3 to 5 years, but this is also the visioning part of Bismarck. So we're talking 20 years from now. What do you think Bismarck could become? So no boundaries. I'm not trying to steal anybody's other tagline, but certainly no boundaries on any of the suggestions or ideas or concepts. If you've seen things in other communities that you'd like to see here, that's your chance
to
tell us.
There are no bad ideas.
That's right.
Well, and interesting because we've got the front page of that website up on our screen right now for our viewers. And included in that front page is a picture of the Burlington Northern Bridge.
Yep.
And that's the next thing we want to talk about because the Friends of the Rail Bridge were at the City Commission meeting last night and gave a nice presentation, kind of an update on their conversations so far and Mark Zimmerman, the chair of the committee, started out by talking about how iconic this bridge is and how it's used in images, both past and present, for these cities of Bismarck and Mandan.
Definitely.
It kind of demonstrates, obviously, the link between the two cities as well. So the purpose for the Friends of the Rail Bridge is to see what can be done to preserve this bridge and keep it intact and transform it into a pedestrian bridge. But it doesn't come easily.
No.
And that's a lot of work and
probably
a lot of money in the long run, but it's worth exploring. And that's what they're trying to demonstrate. They've had a lot of conversations.
Yes.
And as I understand it, Jason, this is being driven, a lot of these meetings are being driven by the Coast Guard.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes, because the Coast Guard takes first position on navigable waters of the United States. So, of course, the Missouri River falls under that category. So the lead agency is the U.S. Coast Guard.
And Burlington, there was a representative there last night from Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad talking about the condition of the bridge. And there's no immediate concerns about the safety of the bridge. So it's not the issue. They look at these things years in advance and want to be proactive on replacing the infrastructure before it becomes a problem. So she assured everyone that the bridge is safe right now.
The bridge is safe, absolutely.
They just need to start this process with permitting. There's a lot involved here. As you say, Coast Guard, probably Corps of Engineers are involved.
DOT.
Yeah,
there's both communities, both counties, Bismarck, Burley, Mandan, Morton.
We have infrastructure from the city, water sources, stormwater issues that are going to be had to look at in this as well. So it's a big, big project.
It is. I think the number the representative from Burlington Northern shared with the group, BNSF has set aside $40 million to do this project. That would be moving forward with their ideal plan. If there's some alternatives, obviously there could be some additional costs to preserve the bridge. And
those need to be explored.
Absolutely.
There's no price on this yet. We don't know what that means. What Burlington Northern knows is what it would cost approximately to take down what's there and replace it.
Right.
And that's where they start.
Mm-hmm.
And, from a community standpoint, I don't think anybody disagrees. Of course, we want a safe bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Want a safe rail crossing. And I think that at the same time, if you ask people in the community, do you want to preserve this iconic landmark and turn it into a usable pedestrian bike, who knows what kind of things you could do with that? The answer would be yes.
Yes.
But how do you make it happen? Yeah. How do you make both of those things happen?
Right.
Big challenge. So give them a lot of props for having that discussion and moving that forward. Give them hope for the future, and we'll see what happens there.
Right.
I think it was interesting that Commissioner Marquardt, I think, made the point about when we talk about where these transformations of rail bridges have happened in the past in different areas in the country, he made the distinction that many of those are rail bridges that have been are a, out of use.
Right.
But in this situation, again, adding to the challenge of this, mm-hmm. is this is still an actively used yeah. rail bridge.
Daily. Dozens yes. of trains cross yes. that bridge every day. We realize it's the mainline connection between Bismarck and Mandan. It's the only connection.
So if it can be done, I think this group is the, mm-hmm. it seems like the right group to explore mm-hmm. all these options and see if this can move forward, because I think it definitely deserves that. I think most people would yeah. feel that way. There may be roadblocks along the way, mm-hmm. and if that happens, it happens. But it doesn't take away the need for this new bridge, and right. it's going to happen somewhere. So, mm-hmm. well, it'll be interesting to watch this one.
Yes, this will take a while to play out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen all the avenues, explore any options that are out
sure.
there.
Sure. So. And as they've mentioned, Mark Zimmerman mentioned, they've been working with Park District. We've mm-hmm. seen this conversation happen with Parks and Rec. They're all part of it. They have representatives yeah. involved here. And mm-hmm. again, we'll watch it move forward.
You bet.
Be really interesting. An issue that came back to the commission, this was something that was tabled at the September 11th meeting. And this is this stormwater area up in Northwest Bismarck. I believe it's 563, you referred to it as.
That's the sewer improvement district number. Yeah. That's our own internal naming system. Mm-hmm. But
we're talking about an area that's primarily south of 57th. It does cross mm-hmm. over in there. Big issue, big area.
Right.
Drains a very large area. And Ben just put up a map, and that's very helpful, obviously.
It is. So, this is yeah. a large discussion. We're talking about close to 1,600 acres of a watershed. And really what a watershed is, it's a topographic area in which we know water moves through the system into tributaries and creeks that ultimately feed into the river. Mm-hmm. But in this area, we're talking about the neighborhoods of Boulder Ridge, some of Horizon Heights, Heritage Ridge, Heritage Park, which is the new subdivision just north of 57th Avenue. And this even reaches into some of the rural areas as well, mm-hmm. the rural areas being outside city limits. So there's a mix of currently annexed properties, unannexed properties, and mm-hmm. then developed county properties as well. Mm-hmm. So it has certainly caught the attention of a lot of folks. By looking at the map, you can see that we have improvements in place east of Washington Street. So right. that's the area that flows through Boulder Ridge.
Those
and then
have
ultimately
been completed.
Sonnet Heights. Those are done. They were built along the way as development came along. Now we're looking at the west side of Washington Street, south of 57th Avenue, and how to capture all of that water, get it into the system, and then move it through. Mm-hmm. So that's what caught the attention of some of the homeowners and some of the developers in the area. I think the largest concern was the price that was negotiated for the city to purchase the land from the existing landowners. So unfortunately, these things can be costly. Mm-hmm. Some might say, well, this is a wetland or this is a swamp. Well, true, but there's value in that for the city because we are required to capture stormwater, you know, control the erosion, mm-hmm. control any sort of runoff that would be moving through as development occurs. So for us, there's value here.
Well, and there's no question the project needs to be done.
Right.
It's just how it's done.
Right.
And the design is in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that purchase price, and that you received some public testimony on that last night during your open session.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were
three or four individuals, and their concerns were not just the price, but then also the potential for special assessments that would come online mm-hmm. as a mm-hmm. result of the improvements that the city would have to make.
Some of them were existing developers who had already developed some of the area and questioned the fairness of local ponds, detention mm-hmm. ponds, as opposed to this regional concept that's sitting here. So
yeah, the regional pond is a much bigger pond, whereas the local ponds are just that. They're intended to capture the local runoff from that specific development that's being done at that time. So
real valid concerns being brought up, as you mentioned, like the purchase price as mm-hmm. well. Going to have to look a little deeper into this. So no action was taken last night.
Right. The direction to staff was to engage the budget committee to see if there's anything in our current means to help offset some of these costs.
Mm-hmm.
So this will come back to the next meeting in October. The budget committee will get together next week and dig through all the numbers and see if we can come up with anything to help helping the cost share here. So
some of the property that appears vacant on this map and is shaded in yellow is future potential development for residential primarily.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
Okay.
The stuff south of 57th Avenue and then east of Washington Street, that would be more what we would consider urban. Mm-hmm. The existing rural subdivisions that are out there, we do not anticipate annexing those properties or doing anything different with those at this time. That's not what our focus is here.
Okay. So we'll follow up. It'll come back to the commission again. Mm-hmm. So we'll see that. Another water issue was the Sattler's stormwater area up in the northeast area of Bismarck. Mm-hmm. It seems like we're always talking about water, either getting water in or draining it out. It seems like whether we're talking about Bismarck or Mandan, these water issues are super critical. I mean, you want to know where, when you turn the faucet on, you've got something coming out.
Definitely.
Clean, quality, and then when you need to get rid of it, that it's going somewhere, especially during rain events.
Right.
And that's this issue, too, with the Sattler's area. It has to do with stormwater drainage.
Right. So there was an existing stormwater channel that was built a number of years ago. What appears to have happened since that time is some erosion, some sediment, some silt has filled into the stormwater channel that was built. When that happens, the channel can't carry that volume of water that it is designed to carry. So then what happens is the water spills out onto private property and encroaches into people's backyards and things like that. So,
and you're getting some comments from the residents.
We are
up
hearing
in this area.
From some of the residents. Okay. Some of the commissioners got out and walked the area, and there was a comment about a couple of pinch points along the way where the channel gets real narrow. We know that there's been some erosion in this area as well. So this is one where we need to take a look at it. And I actually misspoke when we were talking about the other stormwater issue. In that one, I said staff was directed to work with the budget committee. I got ahead of myself. That's actually here in the Sattler's neighborhood where staff was directed to look through the budget to see if there's any means to help clean out the channel, widen that channel, reestablish that channel.
Okay.
So I apologize for
that. Jason, do you know when this area was developed? What was the approximately the year that this addition?
The Sattler's neighborhood has evolved over the last 10, 12 years, but I believe this area particularly, we were probably talking about 2010, 11, 12, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Of course, the school's right near here, Sunrise Elementary, and that's been open for a few years.
Okay.
So there's a number of different additions to the Sattler neighborhood, and as those things evolve, sometimes they don't always come in whole. They come in part and parcel.
Sure.
So this has been one that over the last...
Phased in.
Yes, phases over the last probably 10 years.
It was an interesting discussion, I thought. And one thing that I had never thought about was the commission was discussing about these easement areas in neighborhoods.
Right.
Everybody likes them because they create kind of a soft space between backyards.
A little bit of a buffer.
Yeah, it looks nice. But they're there for a purpose.
Right.
They're there to drain that stormwater and carry that water away, especially in major events. But what happens over time is a lot of people, once they settle into the neighborhood, they see that area is common space. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a little landscaping that gets added and things get changed and modified from the original design. And I think that was an interesting, at least to me, I thought that was very interesting and how that modification can affect the drainage.
Definitely. There can be some unintended consequences of a weekend project.
Yeah.
Somebody might be out trying to make some improvements to the yard. That's great. That's wonderful. But if you're in an area where you do have some natural drainage ways through your property, we would always encourage you to contact probably our community development department would be a good place to start. They have direct access to all the plats, which will show the easements, and then homeowners can better understand if there is an area of their yard that has been set aside for the drainage or the confluence of stormwater. Generally, those areas need to be left untouched. So we have our public works staff works to maintain these areas because that's part of what falls under the operations of the public works utility operations group. So if you are looking to make some improvements and you're not sure what if anything is in your backyard, please give us a call. We'd be happy to share with you if you do have an easement, where it is and how it should function. But in this case, it sounds like there may have been a few projects somewhere along the line that may have caused some of the concerns here as well.
Some contributing factors.
Right. And certainly unintentional by all means. We're not accusing anybody, but we're recognizing that over the years, some changes have been made that may have added on to some of the problems we're seeing today.
So what's the status of this now? The engineering department has put together some corrections to this issue here.
Correct.
And then there was a discussion about the cost of that and that some of this will be going in as special assessments.
It could,
to
yes.
To these property owners, but there was some conversation about looking into possible ways to share that cost because, again, this is an unanticipated expense.
It is, and there's a policy change that has been talked about with this as well. So in the past, when we've had these stormwater areas, oftentimes the developers take it upon themselves as part of all of the earthwork and the grading that they're doing for the neighborhood that they're working on to establish these areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
What we had not done in the past is we had not received any certification that it was built to the design standards that were put together for this stormwater pond. Looking ahead, I believe that's what we will be doing is once the developers create the ponds, have a survey crew come out and shoot the topography, verify that it is built in the way in which it was designed, so then we know that when it becomes our responsibility, everything is as it should be.
Yeah.
So a good discussion, definitely some opportunities for improvement on our part when it comes to accepting these areas, but some teachable moments for others going forward as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that completes the heavy agenda highlights from last night. So we wanted to talk about a couple of things that are coming out, some things that just passed, but something that's coming up, and that's an election.
Yes.
We have a big election, the midterm elections.
November 6th.
Then there's a couple of city ballot, or three city ballot measures that are going to be on the ballot. And this would just be for city within city limits of Bismarck, correct?
Right. That's right.
Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit. We've had some phone calls here about that language, and I know that we'll be putting some things on our channels about that language.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean? What does a yes vote mean? What does a no vote mean? And, right. I realize there's some sensitivity on your part to being here because this is not driven by the city.
Correct.
Even though these projects, the result of these measures would pay for some major road projects, is not being driven by the city. And we have to be very sensitive to that because you can't influence votes.
Right.
And we understand that.
We cannot take a position of support or otherwise.
Yeah.
But really what this was driven by the Infrastructure Task Force and the Special Assessment Task Force. I know we've talked about that. Those two groups met independently and then collectively over the course of nearly 2 years. Where we've landed today is based on their recommendations. And their recommendations came from communications through their networks, through their supporting organizations, through members of the community. So really what we're talking about, Measure 1, I'm just going to read a portion of it. It's to levy an additional half-cent sales tax for the construction and reconstruction of major arterial roadways to be sunset after 10 years and limited to a predetermined list of projects. It's kind of a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
What does it really mean? It means that we have major roadways in our community that need improvements. One that I talk about frequently is 43rd Avenue. A lot of people on the north side of town drive 43rd Avenue regularly. Clearly, we've got a two-lane street that isn't what we would consider an urban roadway.
No.
It doesn't have curb and gutter. It doesn't have sidewalks.
No,
it doesn't
shoulders.
Have adequate lighting. There's very limited traffic signals.
Yeah.
The collection of the half-cent sales tax would help pay for those improvements.
Right.
And why are we looking to sales tax for this? Simply stated, federal funds, which we've relied on for years, are drying up. We are not seeing the federal support that we have seen in the past, so we need to find an alternative revenue stream to support these types of projects.
So these would, you go back to the Special Assessment Task Force was looking at this along with your Infrastructure Task Force. This isn't going to take away any special assessments that are in place right now.
Correct.
But it's intended to avoid some major special assessments as the community moves forward. And the list of road projects were very large. There was how many different projects?
I think there
projects?
Were 10 different projects that we were talking about. And, you know, so 43rd Avenue in and of itself is three or four projects because we can't capture all of 43rd from east to west in 1 year. So we break them down into manageable sizes, but they're throughout town. We've got a portion of South Washington Street that needs some work from the drainage ditch down to Burley Avenue. 43rd Avenue, we've mentioned. Century Avenue is another one. North Washington Street, Highway 83. These are the big roads.
Yes.
These are the major roadways that move through our community.
So you talked about ballot measure number one.
And then
number two.
Number two. So that's another recommendation from the two task forces, and that is to cap the existing 25 mil property tax buy down. That sounds confusing too. So in the late 80s, it was a voter mandated initiative that required the city of Bismarck to take a portion of the sales tax we collect and use that to buy down property taxes throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
It initially started with 20 mills, and then in 1992, it was up to 25 mills. Mills, again, I understand that gets to be a confusing term. Dollars and cents, what does that mean? In 2019, we have budgeted approximately $9.6 million to help share in the cost of property taxes throughout the city. What the ask is to cap that number at $9.6 million going forward. And the reason the cap is proposed is because sales tax, which is used to pay down the cap, sales tax has essentially flattened out over the last few years. And we know that annually we collect about $16 million in sales tax. If we continue to buy down property taxes at a 25 mil value, at some point in the not too distant future, all of the sales tax could be allocated towards property tax buy down. So that would not leave sales tax available for some of the other funding for major infrastructure projects like we had just talked about.
Okay.
Roadways, water, sewer, those types of things.
So these measures kind of go hand in hand.
They do.
They're really important. Yes. And number three, what does...
The third measure affects the city's home rule charter. So there's language in there that tells us how we can collect taxes, how we operate. The language changes that are proposed for the home rule charter is more along the lines of housekeeping to support measures one and measures two.
Okay.
Measure one and measure
two. So they
two.
Do all three.
They
go
all blend
together.
Yes. So,
and again, this is a little complicated and kind of
there's a heavy lift here.
There is.
There it is. Definitely.
And because of that, and the recognition of that, there's going to be some meetings and some public input opportunities between now and the election.
Right. So between the Bismarck-Mandan Chamber of Commerce, the Bismarck-Mandan Development Association, which were two members of both of those task forces, mm-hmm. They have coordinated and organized a series of dates going forward. There's actually a meeting this evening, Wednesday, October 10th at 6 o'clock out of Public Works on 601 South 26th Street. Next week, Wednesday, on the 17th at 8 a.m., there's another informational meeting that will be up at BSC mm-hmm. in the Basin Auditorium on third floor, Wednesday the 24th at 6 o'clock. We'll be back at Public Works, mm-hmm. 6 p.m. And then Tuesday, October 30th from 4 to 5 p.m., back up to BSC. So there are four more dates starting tonight where people can come and ask questions, learn about what the initiatives mean, and help to better inform themselves before they get to the polls in November.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do our best to get some of that, hopefully one mm-hmm. of those public meetings on our channel running to help explain this. We'll get some text on the screen mm-hmm. in our message board. So,
and there's some information on our homepage as well. Certainly you could reach out to the chamber or the yeah. BMDA with any questions.
I'm going to assume our great local media groups are going to also mm-hmm. be fleshing this out and putting out some information. The yeah. Tribune will more than likely be talking about this language mm-hmm. and what a yes vote means, what a no vote means, as well as our electronic media. Hopefully right. there'll be a lot of coverage on this because it's super important. We've got some major
absolutely
projects in front of us.
Appreciate that comment. It is important to our community. It's important to the city as an organization, but we need to know what the voters are comfortable with.
And there's a few other things on the ballot that people may want to be voting on.
Right.
So please, people, get out there. There's no excuse. Mm-hmm. North Dakota, you can go to vote.nd.gov to find out what's on your ballot in mm-hmm. your area. Your county auditor has all that information on their website. Sample ballots are already put mm-hmm. together. Early voting has started in Morton County. I think not quite
Berlin, over here. Absentee,
but it will be
is open.
Yep.
So.
But early voting will be opening soon. I think in Burley County as well, over mm-hmm. at the city county building.
That's right.
So we have no excuse not to vote. We need right. to get out and vote.
And if I can just mention one more thing, the city initiatives or the city measures 1, 2, and 3 are not to be confused with the state measures
right.
1, 2, and 3. Yep. They're two completely different things. Absolutely. So please do your homework.
Yeah.
Do a little research. Make sure you know what you're.
You're right. I mean, it does take a little
asked.
Time to mm-hmm. educate yourself and find out what you're voting on, and the information's there. You just have to know how to find it, and you can contact the city.
Mm-hmm.
You can certainly contact the counties. That's who coordinates the elections and the ballot issues.
It's one of the biggest responsibilities for the county
absolutely.
Auditors.
Absolutely.
They run the elections. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. want to talk about a fun thing that just happened, and that's the opening of the new firehouse in Bismarck.
Station 4.
And we had a ribbon cutting, and then there was an open house a few days later.
That's right, yeah. And we initiated some new firefighters as well as part of all of this. So on the screen right now, we've got there's the new firefighters. There's the ribbon cutting. That was from last week, Thursday. We've got Fire Chief Joel Baseflug there, Mayor Steve Bakken, Commissioner Steve Marquardt, along with the Chamber Ambassadors and the project architect. So this is the station over just east of Expressway on Miriam Avenue. Mm-hmm. So this is on the way out to the landfill or the Raymond J. Bone National Guard Armory. Brand new facility. And then Saturday was the fun part of all of this. It was an open house. There were Chief Joel Baseflug mentioned there were over 1,000 people that stopped by on Saturday. Kids had a chance to crawl on the trucks and look around at the station. Parents, of course, they had some demonstrations in the training facility in the burn building as well. So it sounded like it was a really good experience for everybody, a neat opportunity to get inside and see what a fire station looks like.
And then you have a new staff there, too, and they were given their...
They were pinned is the official terminology. Okay. Yeah, so there's the picture of our new firefighters. We've got 6 of them. That just adds to the already robust crew that we have.
And this is the crew at Station 4?
I don't believe this is
not necessarily
all of them, right?
These are just new staff.
Right. The way the shifts work, I believe there's 3 different shifts, and they are all essentially stationed to one station, and then through the rotation, they get their time in. So I'm happy to have those gentlemen on board. Looks like a good crew.
Important job. First responders, well-trained people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we're talking about this because October is Fire Prevention Month.
Right.
And
this
we're
week,
right in Fire Prevention Week.
Right. It's the week of whatever week October 9th falls within. That becomes Fire Prevention Week. So this is really the highlight week for Fire Prevention Month. Definitely, it's no joking matter here. We want to make sure we're serious about fire prevention, understand the safety and all the aspects that go along with that. So
absolutely. And bismarcknd.gov, go to the fire department's page there. Mm-hmm. There's some fire safety tips.
Absolutely.
You can contact the fire department to have them even take a look at your home if you're unsure about
something. They're doing regular inspections throughout the community. That's part of what they do, is making sure all these places are safe. And then also making sure they understand how these buildings are laid out, because if there is an emergency and they need to get into these facilities, it's important that they understand where those areas of concern could
be. Absolutely. We had them here in our building, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
And you passed.
We passed.
Good for you.
Whew.
Good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that kind of covers the information today. We went a little long, but that's okay.
Yeah. It's all good stuff.
We'll see you next time, Jason.
Thanks, Mary.
And thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDEC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.